Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And I've been reading The Fear of the Lord again by John Bevere. And it's just powerful.
That's a book, man. It's something,
book.
Ain't it?
Oh, my goodness.
I read that thing, and it's like, oof.
It puts you on your toes, for
you
sure.
You want to be humble. That's book that exactly. Began the journey, huh?
And, you know, you're watching what's going on today, and there's just so much irreverence and lack of fear of God.
Yeah.
You know, and it can rub off on you. I mean, if you're not paying attention and you're not constantly aware of it, mm-hmm. I mean, you really, really, it's just a dangerous place to be, and especially after reading, you know, what I've been seeing here recently.
I remember, too, a particular company, their logo, their motto is to be irreverent.
Yeah. We won't mention the name, but yeah.
Yes, we won't mention the particular name. It's not the only one, but they actually wrote it
in. But yeah, they're proud of it, yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
And I'm in this chapter. It's called Order, Glory, and Judgment.
Order, Glory,
and then Judgment.
And Judgment.
Ooh. Yeah. And that's specific order. And there's a few examples of it.
Well, the pattern's right.
The glory falls. About that as well. And there's many examples of it in the Bible, but one specifically is when the children of Israel were out in the desert with Moses, and God begins to lay out his order and his pattern for how he wanted to dwell with his people again. So he gives the plan to Moses, and then he begins to empower the people to actually start to build the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. So he, gives people these talents to start to build these, different ornaments and different pieces of furniture, and mm-hmm. how the tent's supposed to be, and all these different things.
He's definitely a God of order, isn't he, in detail?
Oh, my gosh, there's so much detail. It's like, my goodness.
And we kind of relate to some of those.
Yeah. No doubt.
We have intercessors just pray for us to survive the details.
If we can just survive them, yeah, really. And then, once they completed it immediately, then God's glory fell into the tabernacle. And it came, and a lot of times they get confused. We hear it all the time. Oh, God's glory is here. God's glory is here. And what they saw was the smoke coming down. But the smoke was actually the camouflage that mm-hmm. actually prevent them from being destroyed. Because right. if glory's, the glory of God actually showed up, we'd all be wiped out.
Right. Well, in the context of not having the blood of Jesus at that point.
Exactly.
That they could not be in the presence of God without death.
Exactly.
But now through Jesus,
All right.
Yeah.
But even his friend Moses couldn't be in the right. room, so he had to, obviously. But then what happened was, once God's glory fell, he begins to talk about this incident with Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu.
Mm.
And they were priests.
Right.
And there was given specific instructions how they were supposed to present sacrifices and offerings and things right. of that nature. Well, on their own, they decided to do something that was not the prescribed way.
Right.
And in Leviticus 10:1, it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it.
Mm-hmm.
They put incense on it, and they offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them to do.
So if they saw what their father had been doing, they thought, hey, I want to do this.
Yeah, right. So they thought they were going to just, no big deal.
Without having any fear of the Lord or understanding of that.
Right. And if you look up the word profane, it's mm-hmm. not good. It says showing disrespect or contempt for sacred things, irreverent.
Oh, wow.
So you have God's order,
mm-hmm.
how things are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
God's glory come because there's order.
Right.
But if you don't follow what he prescribed,
right,
then there's a third thing that can happen. And it's called his judgment.
Judgment, yeah.
And this is what happens. Once they did that, immediately, Leviticus 10:2 says, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died.
In the presence of God.
In the presence of God and the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Instantly were judged. These two men instantly were judged for their irreverence. So it was met with immediate death. And God was so serious about this. Moses was like telling Aaron and his other two sons, hey, look, don't even mourn them.
Yeah.
Because that would even in itself be irreverent to even.
It's amazing how many people empathize with the people who openly went against God and had every opportunity and they chose, and people still want to somehow connect or empathize with it. He says, they just dissed the creator of the universe. They just suffered grave consequences, and you're not going to let this be an example for others so they don't follow in it and they're separated from God?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, quite often, you know, that people think you're just being, you know, probably told Moses, like, why would you say that? These are, you know, these are, you know, ministers' children.
Right.
And, right?
Right, right, exactly.
These are PKs. And, but the thing is that everybody, you're not, there isn't a rubber stamp anointing just because you're biologically related to someone.
That's right.
And there's a fatal price to familiarity.
That's exactly right.
You get real familiar, you know, with God's presence.
Mm-hmm. You can.
You know?
And we saw it.
Think
about back in the days during the revival. I mean, there was people that didn't want to listen to, you know, their authorities. They didn't want to listen to godly wisdom, and they suffered for it greatly. And we've seen it many times over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And, we say we want God's glory. We want his presence. We want him with us, which he's in us. He dwells within us. But the manifest presence of God.
The hope of that glory manifest.
Exactly. But it comes at a price.
Yes.
If you're not right.
Right.
Your heart's not right, and you're showing irreverence towards him and the things of God, and you know, you're bucking against authority, you know, you're just whatever.
Right.
There's a price. There's a price to be paid.
There's a huge price.
But it's worth it, though. I mean, why are we here? I mean, we want God's glory. You know, we're not just here just doing whatever because it looks good, sounds good, or whatever.
We're way too comfortable if all of a sudden we say, listen, that we don't want God.
Exactly.
His presence.
Yeah.
His glory.
Yeah. And we're just going to status quo. I mean, I got this job. I got my house. I got this. I got that.
Stuff in my things.
Oh, that can burn. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just, I want God's presence. I want, you know, be right standing with him always. And it's just, it really, really makes you think and ponder and question everything that you're doing and just be right in your heart always.
Well, he says, you know, test yourself to see if you're in the faith.
Exactly right.
And then when you're in a culture that is irreverent, and you're talking about that it can easily rub off, you cannot get in agreement with irreverence in action or deed or word or thought or heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows what's on our heart. So many people just don't ever deal with what their thoughts are, what their heart is. But realize when you look at Noah's day, they said, this is what the judgment was. They had on their minds evil 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never get right if we don't begin to deal with our minds and hearts and think right and feel right in our heart before God. In other words, if he says it's wrong, it's wrong. We got to begin to take it to the cross and let God empower us to be able to walk that out. And you're designed for the presence and the glory of God. I remember when I was ministering at during the revival, the Brownsville revival, I was with a couple hundred men, and I was speaking to them, and they were worshiping God, and their hands were all raised, and it was just a powerful moment. But all of a sudden, the ceilings must have been about 18 feet high, maybe 20 feet high, and the entire room that we were in filled with smoke. It looked like something had burned, and smoke was just all in the top of the area that we were meeting in, and I'm looking and thinking, well, nothing's burning, and then I realized it's the glory of God manifesting here in our very presence. The cloud of God was manifesting, and it was, and you, if you see guys were raising their hands up, and the cloud was like maybe 10 feet above them or 8 feet above them, and I thought to myself, and I started thinking, well, this is the glory of God, and so I'm talking to God, going, well, why doesn't the glory just come down? And he said, you know, because they're not ready for the glory.
That's just it.
They're not ready for the glory. And he says in Malachi, I think chapter 3, he says that we're to be washed with a laundry detergent. That we have to make our ways right before God. And that his very presence judges sin, his very glory. And we've seen quite a few things since then that you can warn somebody, but the problem with the grid of thought life for today's church is that so much stuff is being done wrong and gotten away with that people assume I'm just switching places. You know, I'm going from the temple to the whatever. Mm-hmm. And but the difference is, if you're going from where God's presence wasn't to where God's presence is, you have no grid for that. You have no grid for that. And so what you want to do is go back to the Word of God, and you want to humble yourself. The way we prepare is we humble ourselves. Mm-hmm. And realize that God knows our heart and mind. And when we're being told something from not just a whoever, but we're being told something from an anointed man or woman of God, that's God speaking through them. And he will immediately bring consequences for choosing not to follow that versus hearing somebody else that was religious or teaching or, you know, whatever in the context of their what they were doing, but God's presence wasn't there. There is no consequences. So people just go, you know, that person would speak and say, let's just vote on it. Let's vote. What do y'all think? Do you think we should actually follow Moses or not? And you can get away with that when God's not there.
Right.
His presence is not there. But when he's there, I mean, we're talking from personal observation.
Exactly.
Personal observation many times over. And which creates the fear of the Lord when you see the consequences of those who choose to be like Korah and Korah's mm-hmm. rebellion and stir up dissension. But also with that, God makes an example where others don't follow in it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be terrified of God. Have a fear of God, a reverential fear of God. Listen, this awesome God loves us. He loves you, and he has a plan for your life. He is so awesome and powerful and holy that it required the death of his son as a sacrifice so that we can be anywhere near him,
mm-hmm.
that he would no longer have to cover himself by the smoke of the pillar of smoke that would cover his glory and his presence. That's what we have in Jesus. But if you just show up without knowing Jesus, and we've seen that, we've seen, you know, people come into the presence of a church and because they were very religious people, they start to do something, and immediately we saw a man fall to his knees and begin to just choke, and mm-hmm. he was all the demonic oppression in his life was just held, stopped dead cold in his tracks.
Sure did.
And had to run away from the church and couldn't even be. And we had another situation where another similar thing, a very religious person's been involved in a place where obviously that God's presence is not obviously there, because you can say that because when he did come into where God's presence was, he immediately responded in a right way. I mean, a right way. He responded by saying that right in the middle of worship, while we're just worshiping God and mm-hmm. you know, no hype or anything, God's presence just is thick and he's there. And all of a sudden, this man who was talking about, I'm a leader at this church, and this is what you're doing wrong, right, and this right. is what you need to do. And all, everybody's just like, okay, cool. Okay, wow, you want something to eat? Anyway, so what happened with that was as soon as we begin to worship the Lord, the presence of God just... you know, he inhabits the praises of his people, and obviously the presence of God was new to him.
Yeah.
But as soon as he was in the presence of God, he began to cry out,
right,
and say, "I'm a sinner." Mm-hmm. I mean, he just felt his sin,
mm-hmm.
you know. But mm-hmm. instead of running and like this other example, he fell to the. He couldn't even stand. He just fell. He sat down and began to weep and began to confess his sins to men who were around him, and he was making himself right with God. And that's what we should do. It was two mm-hmm. different kind of responses.
Right.
And God's presence protects us. God's presence leads us, but God's presence deals with us, you know, if we don't do things in his order and his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hope for America is the church wanting God's presence back in their life. The only thing that differentiates us from anyone else is the presence of God. Moses talked about that.
That's right.
Well, if we don't have God dwelling with us, then we don't look any different. And people don't fear coming amongst our number. And when people plan to do evil, they don't have dreams, God showing them, if you touch this man or woman of God, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, that's what God does. God backs up those that are his, you
that's
know.
Right.
And whatever does happen, it's Father filtered, and you can have a peace about that. Listen, there's nothing more awesome than the presence of God
but nothing more dreadful than to have no fear of God and to be in the presence of God and watch the consequences of man in the presence of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.